Chapter 11, Traveling Incognito. A few months later, I asked Alisande to marry me, and to my delight, she agreed. The king and queen and everyone in the court came to our wedding. Alisande and I lived together in the castle, and we were very happy. I visited my factories every day, giving advice to the workers and designing new things to make. But although I was happy with my life, I thought I should be doing more to help the people in the country. After all, I was the prime minister. I decided to find out more about the way simple people lived so that I would know how to help them. One day, I told the king that I was going to disguise myself as a simple man and travel around the country.
"That's a wonderful idea," said the king. "I would also like to find out more about the simple people of my country. And it would be an interesting experience to travel incognito. I will come with you."
"I'm not sure that would be a good idea," I told the king. "You may be able to dress like a simple man, but you won't be able to behave like one. People will soon see through your disguise."
"I can learn to behave like a simple man," replied the king. "You can teach me."
There was nothing I could say to change the king's mind, so I started working on our clothes. I cut the king's hair and found us both old brown robes and sandals to wear. Now I had to teach the king how to behave like a poor man. When we see rich or important people, we have to bow and move to the side to give them room to pass, I told him. "Let's try it." We practiced a few times and the king seemed to get the idea. Finally, I decided that he was ready for the journey. However, I was still worried that we might get into trouble. Poor people don't carry spears or swords, so we wouldn't be able to protect ourselves. As a precaution, I put some dynamite in my bag. Looking exactly like poor people, we started on our way. I soon realized that the king wasn't as ready to play the role of a poor man as I had thought. A few times, he refused to bow or move to the side when rich people walked past, and I had to pull him off the road at the last minute. Then he would stand up straight and look into their eyes angrily. The rich people were furious and could easily have killed us. On the third day, two knights came by on horses. The king still couldn't forget who he was, and again refused to move to the side. Instead, he stood there and looked directly at them.
"Move out of their way, quickly," I whispered. But the king wouldn't listen.
"They must move aside to let me pass," he said stubbornly.
The knights rode directly towards the king, who had to jump out of the way at the last minute. The king was furious. I tried to calm him down, but he started shouting at the knights. They turned their horses round and lifted up their spears, pointing them towards the king. I ran in front of the king to protect him. Then I quickly lit my dynamite and threw it at the knights. The next thing we knew, pieces of armor were flying in the air.
"What happened to them?"
asked the king, surprised. "I used a little magic to kill them," I said. "Those knights won't bother us again." On the fourth day, we were very tired, and we were looking for a place to rest for a few hours. At noon, we arrived at a hut. I knocked on the door, but there was no answer. I pushed the door open and looked in. It was very dark inside, but I saw a woman lying on the ground. She lifted up her head and looked at me.
"What do you want?" she asked weakly. "I haven't got anything left to give you."
"We haven't come to take anything," I said.
"Then you mustn't stay here," she said. "I'm very ill, and you will become ill too."
"Let me come in and help you. I'll bring you some water," I said. I picked up a wooden bowl and ran out to a stream to get water. When I got back, the king was inside, and he was opening the shutters to let in air and light. When I bent down to give the woman some water to drink, I saw red spots on her face. She had smallpox. I ran over to the king and whispered in his ear,
"You mustn't stay here, sir. The woman's illness is contagious."
"A king should never be afraid," he replied. "I will stay and help."
The woman called to us.
"Please climb the ladder to the room at the top of the hut. My two children are up there, and they're very ill."
A few minutes later, the king came down the ladder carrying a girl in his arms. The girl was dying. At that moment, I was very proud of the king. He was dressed in a poor man's clothes, carrying a dying child in his arms so that a poor woman could see her daughter for the last time. To me, he was braver than any king I had ever heard of. The king put the girl down next to her mother. The poor woman touched the girl's face and kissed her.
"Is my other daughter dead?"
she asked. The king nodded.
"Then she is at peace now,"
the mother said quietly. I saw tears in the king's eyes. The woman saw his tears too and said,
"Oh, I can tell that you know it is really difficult to be poor. You work hard, but you have to give all your money to the rich landowners. Your family is hungry because you haven't got any money to buy food. And when your family becomes ill, your children die. Most people in England know what it is like to be poor."
Tears ran down the king's face as he listened quietly to the woman. He had never cared about the poor people of England before. For the first time in his life, he was beginning to understand what it was to be poor. Soon the woman was too weak to talk. She put her arms around her daughter and closed her eyes. At midnight, it was all over. Both mother and daughter died peacefully, lying side by side.